The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this 15th day of November 2017. And we're talking with Harley Schlanger. Harley, the reason, and I started this, and everybody else has followed in the industry, with calling out the date of the show, and I do it for one specific reason. That is, anything that I say on this network, if some goon or agency wants to come after me, we have record of it. We have permanent record on servers that they're not going to be able to touch or crash.
Yeah, but you know, they changed. They can. This was the whole point in 1984. You can change the past.
Well, okay. I wished I could change the past. There'd be many things that I would do, and we wouldn't be in the position we're in today. But suffice to say, we are. Now, I wanted to get into this and explore here just for a second, because we're talking about liquidity, we're talking about equity, we're talking about banking, we're talking about all these things. The one thing that I see that has been the major problem and has not been constitutional, weights and measures, that was supposed to be handled by Congress. We no longer have a currency that's backed by anything, but the full faith and credit, and the checkbook is about empty as far as the federal government goes. They can't sell any more bonds to anybody, because they're too busy laughing at the idea of buying any more United States treasuries. They're what's the return on them? There's next to nothing. And then they realize the amount of debt that we're in, and what good is it going to be to buy treasuries or bonds from a country that may not be here next month?
Well, this is the big question now facing the Federal Reserve, because what they've done is, they've made themselves, actually, they didn't just make themselves. This has been their function from the beginning. They've largely represented the money center banks. The real power in the Federal Reserve is in New York City, the New York Federal Reserve, because this is where the policy is set. And this is where they made a decision after 2008 to go with a bailout. Now, you remember the Congress initially voted against the bailout. And Bush went on television and pleaded with the American people. Hank Paulson came out and said, we're heading toward bankruptcy. And then they brought in McCain and Obama. And McCain initially was skeptical about the bailout. This is when he still had a few marbles left in his head. And he went into Washington, and Obama said to him, we have to do this. Bush said, we have to do this. And McCain went along with Obama. And I think that's where he lost the election, because he went along with the bailout. Now, since that time, we've had one fiasco after another on financial policy. The Dodd-Frank bill I mentioned before. One thing, do you know, John, I'm sure you know this, maybe your listeners don't. The Dodd-Frank bill actually has bail-in in Section 2 of Dodd-Frank, which says that instead of having a government bailout next time, banks can take their depositors' money, yeah, senior debt, and so on.
We saw that happen in Greece.
In Cyprus, yeah.
Cyprus, yes.
Cyprus.
Yep.
Well, it just happened in Italy, because the EU has the same thing, and people were jumping off banks, jumping off buildings, hanging themselves. So This is where you begin to see a real problem, because they don't, as you said, what can they sell? You know, central banks are buying junk bonds to put money into the banking system.
I wanted to touch, I've got PJ Barden in Wales that's actually a host on this network. But I wanted to ask you, the swamp that Trump ran on, said he wanted to drain. We have this guy from Louisiana, Judge Roy Moore, that they're trying to hang pedophilia on him right now.
From Alabama.
From Alabama. You are correct. I misspoke. They're doing the same thing, and they're trying to prevent this guy from coming in, already to the point of saying, well, if the people do elect him, we're not going to seat him in the Senate.
Yeah, McConnell's saying that he could be indicted as soon as he gets to the Senate. And then what is McConnell's great plan? Get Jeff Sessions to resign and go back as Alabama senator.
Well,
the governor would appoint him.
I'm sure there's a lot of people in this country right now that would like to see Jeff Sessions resign, but certainly not go back to the Senate. P.J. Barden, you're online. Can you hear us, sir?
Hello. Hello, yeah. Good evening. Great respect for you, Harley. I hear you many, many times on the Deagle's program, and John, who's put, both of you have put many years into this. But one quick question, and I'll get off. You must give people, you're talking about people waking up. Very good. But you must give them a list of options of things to do to deal with this. This is the biggest, you know, this criminal syndicate we've ever faced in our lives. You must give them a list of options. I'll get off the line. I'll let you answer that, okay?
Thank you, PJ. I appreciate your call.
Well, there are a few things people can do, and I think the first thing is we have to continue the insurgency that was with Brexit, was with the Trump election, but we have to do it with elections across the board. We have to have American people going out and fighting for their rights, not accepting the establishment, running new campaigns, new candidates, take over the existing parties, because the parties are just puppets of Wall Street. There's really just one party in this country. But fight also for specific programs. There's a bill to restore Glass-Steagall in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. It's got 70 House of Representative Congress supporters. Trump said he's for it. Why don't we put pressure, excruciating pressure on the Congress to stop the bailout of the Wall Street speculators and instead put money back into the community banks, credit back into the physical economy? Glass-Steagall would do that. And I think if we had a concentrated effort from the American people, this would take a lot of power away from Wall Street. The American Bankers Association is lobbying full time to keep Glass-Steagall from being restored.
Do you remember when this happened? Greenberg, he was one of the first ones to come out, and he was yelling foul. He said, you people did away with Glass-Steagall back in 1999. And he says that's exactly why this happened. You're allowing the commercial banks to get into the speculative markets, and look what they've done with it.
Well, and Lyndon LaRouche, who I've worked with for 40 years, immediately in 1999 came out and said, this is going to produce the bubble that will collapse the system.
And it has.
There were people who recognized that, including, as you mentioned, it was actually clear in 2006, 2007. Bear Stearns started collapsing in 2007. We see the same signs today. And rather than wait until there's global misery as a result of another crash, we've got to take the power away from these bankers. And that starts with Glass-Steagall. It continues with infrastructure, a national credit policy for investing in the real economy. If Trump were to do this, if he were to start creating jobs, and look, some of the deals he signed in China are already creating jobs in West Virginia, Montana, Iowa, Indiana. It's just starting. It's a start. But there's a tremendous potential to give people hope. That's what's needed right now, because the problem, as you know, John, is so many people think there's nothing we can do. They're too powerful. Mm-hmm. We're too weak.
Yeah.
Well, whoever thought Trump would be president of the United States?
And I think people, they misunderstand exactly how the system of government was set up. I am tired of hearing politicians, just heard it again today, a congressman, I forget his name and probably not worth remembering, but he was on Fox News and he was touting this great democracy. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this and I'm going, well, wait a minute. Our Constitution was never set up with the democracy. Our Constitution was set up with the republic for one good reason. for the people to maintain control of government itself, because by extension, we are the government. We're supposed to elect the people best suited to represent us, but hell, we don't even have people anymore that understand socialism from free market.
Doesn't it bother you when you hear people saying they're attacking our democracy? Because they don't understand we have a democratic republic, but a republic invests the power in its citizens. And the Congress is supposed to be a representative of the population. Now, presumably, some of the congressmen actually know what they're doing, although that's hard to see today. But if they don't, if they're off course, the people have to be heard. And I think this is the thing that Trump showed, that if you speak out, if you fight, you can do something, you can change things. And hopefully that spirit will catch on again. As I said, it's a global spirit. This is what Brexit was about. This is what in Italy you have three or four Trump movements right now. And they're not really Trump movements, but they're basically saying give power back to the people.
And that's where
one of my friends is saying, make Italy great, not again, but for the first time.
No, I'm not going to take any calls because we only have a few minutes left here with Harley. Harley, when can I wrangle you back in to coming on the program? I know it's late, but is there a way that we can figure something out here that you can join me for at least an hour? I won't hold you to 2 hours because that would put you at 2 a.m.
Sure. Let's just communicate via email, and I'll make myself available. And again, I've gotten a bunch of emails from your listeners, so people are paying attention. If you want to get my access to my blog, send me an email at harleysch@gmail.com, and I'll get you the information you need to get my regular articles.
And I would appreciate much if you would submit some articles that we could post, because you were a man of good spirit. You've been around the block a few times. We won't tell them how many times. We'll just say it's the years, not the mileage. But yeah, you have been around for quite some time, and you have a unique perspective on things. Even though that you're not on shore here, you're eyeballing what's going on in this country, and you're staying abreast, which makes you extremely important because it's salient, good information that people need to hear.
Well, and it's also, I'm shaking up Germany. I'm doing what I can to move some things here, and Germany needs to be shaken up. It's fallen into disrepair.
Well, and if things get too hot over there, we can always bring it down here to Texas. Don't mind the traffic, but at least down here, nobody will be looking to do away with you. Let's put it to you that way.
Well, let's hope not. Or if there, at least there'll be people there to protect me.
There you go. Harley Schlanger, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on, and we will be talking in the future.
Okay, John. Very good talking with you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Wee hours of the morning time. You understand, folks, that I literally have the flu. I feel like hammered crap, worse than I did yesterday, but I had to juice myself up a little bit to get in here today because this was important. I've heard this man before. As a matter of fact, last week, what day was that, Mike, that I played that half-hour-long clip, actually 35 minutes, from the SGT, and I did it commercial-free. Why? Not because I loved the host or I owed him something. It was because of the man and his information. And there has been a lot of things said about Lyndon LaRouche, and some of it I agree with and some of it I don't. He did recognize that Lyndon LaRouche was on Republic Radio International years ago. That's how long he's been with Lyndon LaRouche. And Lyndon is a different kind of a bird, that is for sure. Still to this day, a lot of people don't know what to make of him, including yours truly. But this man that has been around Lyndon LaRouche, where do you think Lyndon gets some of his information from? That's right. So at any rate, we will definitely have him back. Alan, I'm sorry I couldn't squeeze you in there, but even PJ, man of many words, only spoke about 35 of them, and then he was gone. Alan, what's on your mind? Is he there? Alan in South Carolina, going once, going twice. Just leave it on hold, and we'll get back to him. I'm going to make a prediction here. these stories that are coming out, the latest, by the way, on Judge Roy Moore. And folks, I don't do politics. I am critical of politics. I've been critical of Donald Trump. I've pointed out his mistakes, as well as some of the things that he's done right. And as I said, Donald Trump, and it's still only a year into his presidency, so far, my take on this, he's not the worst we've ever had. He's not the best that we've ever had. But he's not done. And without that hope car not being connected to that train, leaving that station, we got to maintain a certain amount of hope. There's nothing wrong with having good wishes on the way down the rails, but hopefully we're not going to get derailed. Judge Roy Moore, I'll make a prediction on Judge Roy Moore right now. I think the people of Alabama are going to elect this guy. And the very same people that have been against Donald Trump, they've made themselves known. The very same people that are against Donald Trump are going to be really pissed off when Judge Roy Moore tries to take his seat in Congress. I don't think there's going to be anything they can do to stop it. The same people that wanted to derail Trump are the very same people that are trying to derail Judge Roy Moore. And by the way, the latest that I've heard, that this autograph that was signed into a yearbook with the girl that he was supposed to, the underage girl that he was fooling around with, his people are bringing in handwriting experts, and it looks like that was a forgery. So you can see, and I'm probably going to say something that's going to tick somebody off somewhere, but I don't think that Judge Roy Moore dated any 14-year-olds at the age of 30 or 31. I don't think it's in the man's character or makeup. Might have he dated somebody that was 18, 19, 20 years old? He may have done that. And if that's the case, if they were of legal age or, you know, it's parental consent, he said that he never dated any girl that didn't ask permission first from the mother. And I believed him when he said that. But even if he dated an 18-year-old when he was 31 years old or 32 years old, I don't have a problem with that. Because the people that are trying to push him out sleep with little boys. So you pick your own poison. There's a reason why they're afraid of Judge Roy Moore. There's a reason. And they're trying to even keep him. They're telling me he's got to drop out right now over unproven allegations. I don't give a damn if it's 2 weeks away from an election or 2 months. It's the same modus operandi, trying to keep him out of the Senate. Now, what if Donald Trump was wrong about who he was backing? Maybe he already knew that the power that Judge Roy Moore was carrying by way of the voters. And to maybe placate some of those people that he's trying to make some inroads to get them to shut up and quit yapping about him. Maybe he knew all along that Moore would get the nomination. And maybe Judge Roy Moore will be one of his strongest, not opponents, but proponents in the Senate. Judge Roy Moore understands the swamp, and so does Donald Trump. The thing that Trump is missing is allies. All right. Alan in South Carolina. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, John, hello. Just a follow-up from a Monday night conversation, I think.
Uh-oh. Well, that's assuming here that people remembered what you said Monday night.
I can say it again, but the gentleman in question, I believe, is off now. Question was, were there, in fact, laws during the 1960s that would either have prohibited or limited the media monopoly that we have today?
You know what? I had that written down, and we got, I thought I was going to have him on for longer than what he was on, and I've got this exactly written on a notepad sitting in front of me. Harley Schlanger, JFK monopolies. But we're going to have him back, so we're able to ask that question in the future. Alan?
Well, I just wanted to follow up on it, you know, because you said Wednesday night you might be able to get an answer. Of course, it's been lagging for half a century, so there's no great urgency.
Well, and if you would have told the board op, he would have put it on. But anyhow, we'll have time in the future to do that, Alan. Thanks for the reminder.
All
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
So Republicans will control the House and Trump is running for president again. Now what? I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system before cold and flu season. What can we hope for from a Republican-controlled House of Representatives? Well, if history is an example, not much. Maybe instead of bills spending $2 trillion at a time, maybe they'll only spend $1.5 trillion. Government accounts for 57% of our nation's gross domestic product. That means that every taxpayer works from January 1st through July 27th just to feed our massive, bloated, overgrown government. If we wanted to get anywhere near a balanced budget, we would have to cut spending, all spending, by nearly 25%. The last time a president was elected to cut spending, Reagan was only able to cut the growth of spending. The Uniparty in D.C. has created an uncontrollable monster. It no longer matters whether Democrats or Republicans are in charge. The monster will continue to be fed with your money and your liberty. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time. Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Is that prophetic or what? How old is that damn song? 80s something? Thank you, Steve, for sending this over to me. Former San Francisco mayor joins lawsuits against PG&E over Sonoma County fires. Burlingame Pacific Gas and Electric Company was blamed in three lawsuits filed Tuesday for negligence in wildfires that killed more than 40 people and destroyed more than 8,000 homes in Northern California last month. Remember me saying a couple of months ago we had a storm that moved through Central Texas here and the network was down simply because the power went out? And I talked to the linemen that came out and they said, well, the problem is that they're not trimming the trees back from the power lines. Guess what caused most of the fires in California? The exact same thing. Only the building here didn't burn down. We were just off air because we lost electricity. People lost their lives out there. And their 8,000 homes burnt to the ground and businesses burnt to the ground? Well, the lawsuits allege the San Francisco-based utility and its parent, PG&E Corp., put profits over safety by failing to trim trees and vegetation around power lines and didn't maintain aging equipment that contributed to the deadly series of wind-driven fires that broke out October 8th and raged across several counties, including the heart of the wine country. And folks, it isn't you can just go plant a vine and next year you got grapes. That ain't the way it works. The suits were filed on behalf of three couples who lost their homes in the fires, including former San Francisco Mayor Frank Jordan and a couple hospitalized after surviving the fire by floating in their swimming pool for hours and dunking underwater repeatedly to escape the extreme heat as flames blew around them and destroyed everything that they owned. This calamity was preventable, attorney Frank Petrie said. A PG&E spokesman didn't comment directly on the latest rounds of lawsuits. They never do because, well, there's a lawsuit and we're not going to say anything. It's the name of the game. It was filed in San Francisco Superior Court over these fires, but said the utility was doing everything it could to help communities rebuild. That's kind of like somebody showing up after you're decapitated with a Band-Aid saying, will this help? The State Department of Forestry and Fire Prevention has not determined the cause of the fires yet, but has mentioned that PG&E is among the potential causes they're investigating. In response to previous suits from the fire, PG&E said in a court filing that a private power line may have sparked the fire that killed 21 people and destroyed more than 4,400 homes in Sonoma County alone. Another 22 people were killed and at least 4,500 more structures were destroyed in the fires in the region. Petrie said that PG&E has provided no support for its claims that a third party may have been involved, and he criticized the legal filing that garnered a front-page headline in San Francisco Chronicle. We are outraged at the most recent PG&E submission, which captured a headline where PG&E seeks to shift and deflect blame to an unknown person based on unknown facts. According to Petrie, that's not transparency in our view, that's secrecy, and frankly, we're tired of it. Petrie said the lawsuits were aimed at getting the utility and state investigators to turn over materials that will pinpoint the cause of the fires. It's kind of like forensics, folks. One of the plaintiffs, Gregory Wilson, who wrote out the fire in his Santa Rosa swimming pool, spoke in a whisper as he discussed the frightening ordeal that put him and his wife, Christina, in an intensive care unit for 10 days with smoke inhalation and burns. We watched everything burn around us, he said. Who hasn't been able to speak in a normal voice since the fire, it's a nightmare you can't even imagine. We're hoping they can shed light on this so no one will have to ever have to go through this, and hopefully no one else will have to die. Well, folks, like I said, in microcosm, that's what happened here. The network literally went down, and, you know, there was no loss of life. There was loss of airtime, obviously. But this is what the power companies, not just in California, across this country are doing. They're not putting any repairs that are needed to be done in the infrastructure. And they're not maintaining the power lines and not trimming back trees. I think hurricane that ever hit the U.S., and this was back, I believe, in the 80s, I was up in Detroit. Sustained winds of more than 70 miles an hour, that's an inland hurricane. You want to know why most people lost power? Because it was the trees that were down that hit the power lines that put everybody in the dark. That is preventable. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer...
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
9543. Thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
We are back. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, John. Good to be able to talk to you. A couple of things with the California Pacific Gas and Electric. I remember talking with Deborah Tavares. Do you remember Deborah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's been out of the scene for over a year and a half now. I don't know where she went. She lives up by Ron McDonald. She lives in the area where those fires were, too. But she told me that before that Pacific Gas Electric and also the water, headwaters of the Russian River, are owned by the Rothschild family.
Well, maybe they're just trying to reclaim some stuff, you know.
Rewilding the land, because anytime there's a catastrophe, FEMA goes in, and I'm sure they're using the Agenda 21 blueprint to make sure everything is done right.
Very well could be.
Yeah, well, that's all my feelings on that. And then with this Judge Moore thing, I heard today someone talking about an ad in the San Diego paper that was sponsored by the Washington Post in regards to having people come out to the Washington Post and get, if they have, want to testify or state that Judge Moore had, they had something go on with Judge Moore, and they would be paid $5,000 to $7,000, and they wouldn't have to testify.
Oh, gee, here's a payday. Just make some empty accusations, and we'll pay you for the empty app. Yeah. Yeah, that's
well, that's also owned by the person that owns Amazon.com. And from what I've heard before, that Amazon.com gets paid about $1.50 for every parcel that they ship from the government.
Wow. Do you think it's about time we drain the swamp there, John?
Oh, starting with McConnell, I would say.
Well, the brain dead people in Arizona won't have the chance to elect him again. Because I think by the time the next senatorial race runs around, McCain will be dead.
How he gets in there, I don't know.
Honest to God, I don't know either.
You know, if there's voter fraud, it probably is rampant in Arizona because he's such a canary in the mine. His troops didn't like him, and he's not what we would consider any type of constitutionalist. He's sold out for the CFR.
If necessary, I'll play the propaganda piece he did for the North Vietnamese again. He's a traitor to his own country.
Well, aside from that,
John, killing his own shipmates because he wanted to show off by doing a heart start in one of his jets. This guy is more than dangerous. And he is a psychopath. By people that have been around him, describe him as being a psychopath.
His father was an admiral in the Navy, and to think that he would be tortured in a prison camp would be out of line. That's such a big story lie. What's Kerry? When it came to recovering troops from North Korea and Vietnam, they shredded all of the information to get them back. So if anything, that should be really a big expose. I remember hearing a gentleman whose brother was in North Korea, and he went to search for him. He got a lot of information. Anytime he went to Washington, D.C., they'd be shut down. But he found out that when they went to North Koreans went to the DMZ and took all of the MASH people, all the nurses and doctors, and captured them, and they were never returned either. So McCain is and Kerry and the Bushes, Kerry's Bush's cousin, they're all, the whole bunch of them are just disgusting vermin.
Yeah, they are. And it's the very same vermin that have been trying to out Donald Trump. It's the very same vermin that are trying to, and here's your clue here, they couldn't even find another set of front dummies. It's the very same people going after Moore.
Oh, yeah, and Trump got attacked with a bunch of sexual
absolutely.
People, too, right?
Yeah, he was a misogynist. And you know what? I was serious when most people think I was tongue-in-cheeking it, and I wasn't. You know, if Judge Roy Moore was dating 18, 19-year-old and 20-year-olds, I don't think he would go to the 14-year-old level. But even if that was the case and more than 40 years ago, I'd much rather have him than one of these people that have an identity crisis and don't know what sexual preferences they have, and they've gone younger. They've gone to little boys and little girls. I mean,
like Biden.
Yeah, the guy that wants to run against Donald Trump in 2020. Well, you go right ahead, Joe.
And his son is running the oil company or the oil business and over there.
Be careful. We already have an ex-Exxon guy in there that's running the Secretary of State for Donald Trump. So watch it.
Right. Well, I know.
Yeah. All right. Hey, John. I appreciate it.
I hope you feel better. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. This is exactly what people were upset about. They see what's going on. They may not know the reasons in this country why things are as bad as they are. You know, that's why we're here, to give you the blow-by-blow account as to what condition our condition is in and why. That's what we do on a daily basis. But the bulk of the American people do not understand it, but they knew this much. Things are pretty screwed up. Things are pretty bad. And no matter what propaganda that's put out by the financial boys or what rah-rah speech you get from some politician in Washington, D.C., that things are getting better, yeah, I don't see it. They don't see it. Not with 95 million people being out of work. One-third of the population of this country, folks, being out of work. I don't see where that's a marked improvement over anything. And this tax thing, if you want to know the God's honest truth about this tax deal, this is nothing but a flim-flam. That's all that this is. The same thing with, well, we can't repair it, so let's do away with Obamacare and let's bring in another new Obamacare or Obama Lite 2.0. No, how about the business of the healthcare system? Leave that to the free market and Mr. and Mrs. Government? Yeah, I know you're here to help, but you're not helping anything. Get the hell out of it. Wow. Here's a nice little semi-propaganda piece. BLN, who is that, Mike? Who is the originator of this story? Blacklisted News, done by... Doug Owen does a damn good job with Blacklisted News. It's 6:30 in the morning. This guy's posting stories on Blacklisted News. At any rate, he posted this up, and there are some obvious holes here. But there's a report that confirms that U.S. coalition struck a deal with ISIS. In a moment of widespread acknowledgement that the short-lived Islamic State is no longer a reality and ISIS is about to be defeated by the Syrian army in its last urban holdout, Abu Kamal City in eastern Syria, the U.S. is signaling an open-ended military presence in Syria. On Monday, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, and he's one of the generals, folks, that's parading around in a suit now, told reporters at the Pentagon that the U.S. is preparing for a long-term military commitment in Syria to fight ISIS as long as they want to fight. What kind of horse manure, Mr. Mattis, do you think we're all asleep here? Do you think that we do not know the role the United States government played in backing these rebels in Syria to bring down Assad? The very troops you're talking about that Assad didn't want in his country, that happened to invade his country like they've invaded every other country in the Middle East, except save Saudi Arabia and Israel. Mattis indicated that even should ISIS lose all of its territory, there'd still be a dangerous insurgency that could morph into a ISIS 2.0, which he said the U.S. would seek to prevent. The enemy, he says, hasn't declared that they're done with the area yet, so we'll keep fighting as long as they want to fight. We're not just going to walk away right now before the Geneva process has traction. Geneva process on what? On a war that was never declared a war? Excuse me, Mr. Mattis, you're a little behind your studies. You shouldn't be in the position that you're in. You should be gone. You should be retired. Ironically, just as some degree of stability and normalcy has returned to many parts of the country now under government control, Mattis coupled the idea of a permanent U.S. military presence with the goal of allowing Syrians to return to their homes. He said, you keep broadening them. Try to demilitarize one area, then demilitarize another, and it just keeps it going. Try to do things that will allow people to return to their homes. Could this possibly be a safe zone? How about a whole safe country that Trump talked about? That we wouldn't have to be there to give the signal to Syrians to return home. They will know it's time to go home. And what a wonderful way to stop all this multiculturalizing every industrialized nation on the face of this planet, was shoving people down the throats of people that really aren't interested in them being the host country for these refugees. Let's stop blowing up the Middle East and normalcy will return. God, I am so sick of these clowns. Death and destruction. Now all they know is death and destruction. Oh, they understand one other thing. Debt. We have to keep going into debt. Folks, 16 years of this stuff at $250,000 a day. Better get out your scientific calculator because the regular ones don't have that many zero placements. Meanwhile, Turkey once again reiterated that the U.S. has 13 bases in Syria, though the U.S.-backed Syrian YPG has previously indicated 7 U.S. military bases in northern Syria. The Pentagon, however, would confirm base locations wouldn't on numbers or locations, I should say. Through only a year and a half ago, the American public was being assured that there would be no boots on the ground due to mission creep in Syria. Let me play something here that will go a long way. Lion John Kirby explaining why a boot on the ground in Syria wouldn't necessarily be a boot on the ground.
And there was never this, you know, there was never this no boots on the ground. I don't know where this keeps coming from.
Well, yes.
There was
yes,
no, there, was. No, there wasn't. There
what,
was where.
What?
Where,
I will not put American boots on the ground in Syria.
Not going to be involved in a large-scale combat mission on the ground. That is what the president has long said. We have three. Wait a minute. We have 3,000-some-odd troops in Iraq already, in an advise and assist capacity at bases throughout the country. Don't tell me and don't tell them or their families that they're not on the ground. They are very much on the ground.
That's not my.
But they aren't involved in large-scale conventional ground combat.
I will not pursue an open-ended action like Iraq or Afghanistan.
Resolution we've submitted today does not call for the deployment of U.S. ground combat forces to Iraq. It is not the authorization of another ground war.
Mantra from the president and everyone else in the administration has been no boots on the ground. And
no,
now
that is not true.
What?
It's just not true, Matt.
It is.
It's just not true. No, it's not.
Well,
I just flatly, absolutely disagree with you, but I've been speaking to this when I was in uniform for over 2 years.
Okay.
We are not obviously contemplating returning.
This is John
We're not
Kerry.
Contemplating putting boots on the ground.
Your predecessor up here, both, you know, it was all options are on the table except boots on the ground. That was the.
I never said that. And
well, that was the whole line from the president on down. Anyway. Anyway, are you saying that this is not the same thing as saying one thing and then doing the other completely?
I'm absolutely.
President Obama has been very clear that American combat troops are not going to be fighting in Iraq again.
Well, this doesn't look like I have a choice. You're going to talk no matter what.
Sir, it's to that question. Within 24 hours, we have seen two headlines, one of them being President Obama rules out ground troops to Syria. And there was he told the BBC, I can give you an exact quote. And then shortly after, President Obama to deploy 250 more special forces troops to Syria. My question is, what is the difference between the troops that the president ruled out and the troops that he's going to send to Syria?
You know, that's actually an intelligent question. That's a good question.
Wow.
And I appreciate that you asked it because it's very relevant. When we talk about boots on the ground and the context that you have heard people in the administration speak to, we're talking about conventional, large-scale ground troops that are designed to actually engage in, plan, coordinate, integrate, and engage in combat operations on the ground as units. We're not doing that. We've never done that in Iraq or in Syria, and we're not going to do it now. Let me finish. Introducing additional advisors and assistants in the form of special operations.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's stop right here. The advisors. So these are not actually combat troops. These are the people that are going to be assisting in the training of the anti-Assad forces. But you see, they won't actually be picking up a gun or killing anybody. We're just going to make sure that they get a buttload of money and all the weaponry and all the training that they need to destabilize that country and pull Assad out of office. I'm sorry, Mr. Kirby. Continue.
Which we've done now. We've had 50 or so on the ground in Syria for a while. We're adding another 250. That's very much in keeping with the mission, one of the core missions that the U.S. military was designed to do from the outset in the fight against Daesh, from the very outset. And I know because I spoke about it myself in my prior life, which was to help improve the battlefield competency and capability of indigenous ground forces. In Iraq, that's the Iraqi security forces and, of course, the Pesh up in the north. And in Syria, it was about trying to get opposition fighters more capable and competent to go after Daesh in Syria. Now,
but that's not what it was designed to do. Now, of course, John Kirby will not lie. That support that he's talking about wasn't in support of the Syrian government and going after Daesh or ISIS or give it a name, who the hell cares? These contentious, habitual liars, the warmongers, the unconscionable ones, the ones like this man that can stand up in front of a press corps, lie his keister off. This is part of the problem that we have and the deep state that Trump often talks about.
As you know, the Pentagon started a train and equip program on, you know, which was not on the ground in Syria, but took fighters out of Syria and tried to get them prepared and equipped. That didn't meet with much success. So they started to do the same mission, but do it in Syria with special operations forces. That has shown some success. Let me finish. That has shown some success. So why not capitalize on that success? So we can have a nice little debate about boots on the ground. But I'm telling you, having been in the military, there is a big difference between saying no boots on the ground. We've all recognized since almost the outset we've had U.S. troops in Iraq, which are very much on the ground. And the colloquial meaning of the...
You know, this you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of, you know, that, well, there are known facts, and then there are unknown facts, and then there are known unknowns. This sounds like double speak, and this he's actually very close to the truth, but he's twisted that truth meter around 180 degrees. Now, what's interesting about all this, what makes even the timing of Mattis' declaration of an open-ended military commitment to supposedly fight ISIS, is that on the same day that the BBC itself confirmed that the U.S. and the Kurdish, the SDF proxy, supposedly the Syrian Democratic Forces, cut a deal with ISIS which allowed for the evacuation of possibly thousands of ISIS members and their families from Raqqa. Now, according to yesterday's BBC report, the BBC has uncovered details of a secret deal that let hundreds of Islamic State fighters and their families to escape from Raqqa under the gaze of the U.S. and British-led coalitions and Kurdish-led forces who control the city. A convoy included some of ISIS's most notorious members, and despite reassurances, dozens of foreign fighters, some of those have spread out across Syria, even making it as far as Turkey. Wow. This is, folks, the exact collusion and conspiracy, if you will, that is going on in Washington, D.C., that has been going on for 16 years. Now do you start to understand, can you start to fathom why people are being labeled with post-traumatic stress syndrome? And that over, and numbers have it now as high as 120,000 service members have committed suicide in the last 16 years because they saw for themselves they were actually a part of the murdering machine that has been going on in the Middle East. They couldn't deal with it, and they thought the best option was to take their own lives. As a country, you can't get any lower than this. I can't see how you can get any lower. Well, I don't know, maybe we can. Maybe we can by leaving the establishment that it's always politely been referred to. Donald Trump gave it a new name. It's the swamp. Talking about the swamp creatures here. How many swamp creatures in the economic war against the American people have allowed to get their way and run you and I right into the ground? As I've said before, and at the risk of being too repetitive and you just blowing the phrase off, tipping point. We are at a place right now in this country that if the changes are not made and made now, toot sweet, once this balance is tipped, we will never be able to get it back. I'll take 31-year-old little girl diddlers, 14-year-old diddlers, over what I have in Washington, D.C. right now. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. You know, folks, what I have a unique perspective of having this network and to watch other networks funded by multi-millions of dollars when they would have the real capacity to go out and ferret out the truth and present it in white paper journalism, to sit there and align themselves with an agenda and look at you straight in the eye on a television camera and lie right to your face. I would expect politicians to do that. But a person representing themselves as a news head, talking into the camera, presenting you with the news, lying right to your face. Enough. Enough. And now what they're trying to do, and I'm still not exactly clear here, of what this coup, and this is basically what this was. And I'm not so sure that the people who were eliminated over in Saudi Arabia and their billions confiscated, which would give them the ability to move out of that damn country, set up their own little kingdom someplace else, and start telling what they know. Was this part of a coup to bring Saudi Arabia more in line for the bidding of Israel, and by extension, the United States? I think that it was. But time will prove that, whether I am right or wrong on that one. All right. Wrapping up today's program, folks, we're asking for your continued support. Do not forget about us. Don't let us go. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. No. Do it today and continue your support for this network. If everybody that listens to this network contributed to it, we wouldn't have to keep running these ads, and I wouldn't have to keep begging you for the funds, because we're the real deal. We are the real deal. We're not going to sit here and lie to you through this microphone. All right. I'm going to take the rest of what I've got left here after 2 days of this flu and drag it on home. And I appreciate very much you being here today. I thought you would enjoy hearing from Harley Schlanger. We'll have him on the air again. I can guarantee that. I think coming up Friday, who is the guy that was calling us for? No, that's what I'm asking you. At any rate, I'm sorry. What? No, off by a mile. Oh, I know why you couldn't answer that question. Yeah, Mr. Anderson. Maybe that's why you couldn't figure it out, because you didn't have your glasses on. Okay, there you go. All right, folks, thanks for being here today. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Thank you for being here today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.